Beloved, the Father of Lights is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Know his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. That's who you are. I have a good, good Father.
That's who you are.
That's who you are.
It's who you are.
And I'm loved by you.
Who I am.
And Daddy Bello in Ascension, and Mommy Bello, Father Ugi, Pastor Dele, Pastor Dan. So I think he has also gone to Leluji. So I appreciate all the pastorate. Thank you, Daddy, for the opportunity once again. Can you say good morning to one another? Good morning. It's good to be in God's house. Choir, thank you so much. More grace to you all in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I have a very simple message. It's very simple, and it's going to be theory and practical. So it's a simple message. All right. So, yeah. Before I continue, I was surprised to see my we sat together in LCF. She's Pastor Dele's sister. Yeah, she's Pastor Dele's sister. Esther, Mrs. Esther Ogundare. I think her husband stepped out. Yeah. She was a Bible study sec in her final year, if I can remember. Her husband also was my prayer coordinator in 300 level. I think PP, right? In her final year. So you're welcome. You're highly welcome. So, title of my teaching, They Shall Prophesy. That's the title of my teaching. They shall prophesy. I have 20 minutes to do this, then we can do practical. They shall prophesy. My main text is in Acts 2:17-18. Acts 2:17-18. Please, we have to be very fast with scriptures. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit. Please let's note that out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. 18. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall what? And they shall what, please? If you read the Joel past, In Joel 2:28, there's something I want to show us there. In Joel 2:28-29, you will observe that this last statement was not included. You can just pick verse 28. So 29. Joel 2:29. Every other thing is the same, but check 29. Joel 2:29. And upon the servant and upon the handmaid in those days will I pour out my spirit. Do you notice? And they shall prophesy is not there. Are we together, please? So when Peter was speaking by the Holy Ghost, he included, and they shall what? Prophesy. Okay? So what does it mean to prophesy? What does it mean to prophesy? What does it mean to prophesy? I'm going to answer this question by how it happened in the scriptures or in the epistle. So I say epistle or in the days of Acts. It means to magnify or exalt God by the Spirit. To magnify or exalt God by the Holy Spirit. I'm defining this by the activity that took place in the book of Acts. It means to magnify or exalt God by the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:1-4. Then we'll go to 8-11. Acts 2:1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire. Please let's note that. Cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 8-11. 8-11. And how hear we every man in our own tongue where we were born? Yes. 9. Parthians and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. 11 is the key. 11. Crete and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues. The what? The wonderful works of God. The wonderful works of God. The wonderful works of God. Now, what's the essence of my teaching? The essence of my teaching is to stir us up. To understand that God has given us His Spirit and it desires that every one of us to prophesy. His desire is not just that we should stop at speaking with tongues. You know, when the revival of Pentecost was battered again through the father of Pentecost, we call him Charles Parham. You know, he took all his students and they went to read all the book of Acts. And they found out that everywhere that the Holy Ghost came upon the disciples, that they all speak with tongues. They picked only that portion and they battered a movement called the Pentecostal movement. They only picked that portion. They left out the and they prophesied. I'm going to show the same portion that they used. They picked one aspect. So the movement was called the Pentecostal movement. So tongues were everywhere. Then William Shamer was known as the catalyst of revival. You know, it was the one that, how would I put it? It was like, you know, something is a catalyst. So William Shamer picked it up and it became a revival. Then the Lord raised someone like Kenneth Hagin, who went into all denominations. You know, somewhere, was it in April, I just had this dream, I just saw his name, David Duplessis. And I'm like, I've seen this name somewhere. And I went to read about him. And I found out that he was the person that the Lord also raised to go into Catholics, to go into, let's just call them Orthodox Church. Orthodox churches that do not believe in, that will never accept speaking with tongues. Do you get it now? And it went ahead. And that was how it moved into other parts of the body. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because I want us to know that this thing is a movement. We are supposed to move from one level to another. Okay? So that's why I decided to just share how it was battered again in the body. You know, there's something unique that man will say, David Du Plessis. He will tell you that, see, I will warn you. It's not by force that you speak with tongues, but I am warning you, you will speak with tongues. You know, people will come to him, once I speak with tongues, like, he said, see, it's a warning. It's not, when the Holy Ghost comes, there's nothing you can do about it. You will speak with tongues. So, from my observation, I found out that by picking just that aspect, we got used to tongues. We got used to speaking with tongues. And we left the other part, which is what? To prophesy. If you look at Acts 10:46, Cornelius' stories, because Cornelius' story rather, Acts 10:46, Acts 10:46. Is the screen hanging? Maybe someone will help me. Acts 10:46. Anybody please? Okay, thank you, sir. He said, for they had them speak with, listen, they, this is Peter and the people that went with him to Cornelius and the people that were there, they had them speak with tongues and what? Magnify God. Then Peter answered, who will stop these people from water baptism? You know, the following story. But I'm trying to show something here. They spoke with tongues. It did not end there. They moved into what? They magnified God. Another one is Acts 19:6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they what? Speak with tongues, and what? Prophesy. I'm trying to show you that each time the Holy Ghost came upon them, two things happened. They spoke with tongues, and they what? And they prophesied. What was that prophesying all about? They were magnifying God. They were declaring the good works of God, like in Acts chapter 2. Verse 1 to 4, the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Yes, if you're in the class of the people that got the utterance in the upper room, they don't know what they were saying. But if you were in the class of the people that were not part of the upper room, they understood what they were saying. Do you get what I'm saying now? So, in other words, the prophet, when you read 1 to 4, they only spoke with tongues. Do you get what I'm saying? When you read 8 to 11, what did they do? Talk now. Can we talk, please? They what? They prophesied. Now, so the essence of my teaching today is to show us that God's desire for us is not just to hang around or hang with. Look at the prophecy of Joel. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Look at what Peter said. He now round it up all again. He said, and they shall what? And they shall prophesy. Alright. So, why prophesying? Prophesying is a sign for believers. Prophesying is a sign for believers that God is in their midst. Are we together? Prophesying is a sign for believers that what? God is in their midst. 1 Corinthians 14:21-22. 1 Corinthians 14:21-22. In the law, he's quoting Isaiah here. I don't know if it's 26 or 28. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. God said he will speak with them, with men of other tongues. Now 22, thank you. He said, wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to what? To them that what? That believe. But to them that what? That believe not. tongue is a sign to them that believe not. He said, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for what? But for them that believe. So prophesying is a sign, not just tongue. You know, we have so much spoken in tongues that we can speak it anytime. But wake us up and say, come and prophesy. It's another ballgame entirely. It becomes another track. It becomes like you have asked me to do the impossible. I'll tell us the reason why it's like that from my own perspective. Okay, time. Let's move. So, prophesying is a sign for believers. Now, another point is God's desire is that all should prophesy. I've said it from my introduction. God's desire is that all should prophesy. I will show us from Numbers. I've read Acts 2, I've read Joel 2, Numbers 11, 24 to 29. Numbers 11, 24 to 29. God's desire is that all, not some, all should prophesy. Now, where's Numbers? Okay. It said that Moses went out and told the people the word of the law and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle, 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took, do you see the consistency again? And took what? Off the spirit that was upon him. This one is not the spirit that was upon God. Do you get it? It's not the one that was upon Moses. Are we together? That was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, what did they do? What did they do now? They prophesied and what? And did not cease. They prophesied. How did they even know that they prophesied? That means there was something they were saying and they could attach it to this is prophesying. But there remained, thank you sir, but there remained two of the men, so 69, no, 68 came. Two people did not come. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was, they even mentioned their name, Eldad, Biamosulo, and the name of the other, Medad. So they probably they were brothers. And the spirit rested upon them. And the spirit rested upon them. They were not in that company. They were somewhere else. The spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. What they call concealed, but they did not go. The spirit still go and find them. And they prophesied where? In the camp. The same results. Next verse. And there had a young man and told Moses and said, this is a young man now. Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Now what was Moses? Joshua. Yeah. Joshua, the protector of the move of God. The watchman over what the Holy Ghost is doing. What did he say? And Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. What was Moses' reaction? 29. That's where I'm going to. 29. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Are you jealous for this anointing? You don't want it to go out. He said, would God that all the lost people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon who? Upon them. If you read another version, you will see that it's like God desires that even all of them go, they were prophets. That all of them as the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ghost rested upon all of them. That's the Numbers. That's the New Testament. Now let's come to the New Testament. I've showed us in Joel, I've showed us in Acts. 1 Corinthians 14, 31 to 39. I'm just trying to show us that we need to shift in our mind. That's why our mind is locked with tongues. It's locked somewhere with tongues. For ye all, please, how many people? For ye may all prophesy. How? One by one. I don't know how that service would be like. Imagine 10 people. Okay, 10 people at least within 3 hours. For ye may all prophesy one by one. That's what? All may learn. And all may be what? All may be comforted. 39. I don't want to read everything. 39. Is it 39? No, okay, yeah, this 32, 39 please.
Therefore, brethren, converse with prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. Okay, there's a place that he also emphasizes that all of them, maybe I've jumped it. So I'm just trying to show there that God's desire for his church, for his people, is not just to hang around speaking with tongues alone. In fact, when he says Pentecost, it's actually to prophesy. In our mind, Pentecost is to speak with tongues. So we have locked up, we have been locked up in that when he said the Pentecost. So he says, what happened in the day of Pentecost? They spoke with tongues. What happened in the day of Pentecost? They prophesied. That's actually what happened in the day of Pentecost. They spoke with tongues and they prophesied. Put yourself on the scale. Tongues, prophesying. Which one do you do in the church, man? With tongues, with the blowing tongues, all kinds. But God's desire is that we should do what? Is that we should prophesy. Now, don't forget my definition of prophesying. We have different definitions. From the Old Testament to foretell, to speak for the word of God, speak on behalf of God, speak by inspiration. But I'm defining it by this activity that happened, which is towards to man. I'm trying to make it simpler, something that we can easily relate to. Okay? To magnify God. Okay? Now, let me speed up. In the New Testament, please, I'm specifying now. In the New Testament, to prophesy, because these are the issues that makes us not to, shall I say, issues that makes us have issues with prophesying. These are the things that makes us have issues with prophecy. Now, in the New Testament, to prophesy is not to foretell or predict. It's not to foretell in the New Testament. I'm using the template of the activity that happened there in Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. Alright? It's not to foretell or predict. As we have been taught in church, when you come into foretelling and prediction, you move into word of wisdom and you move into what?
Word of knowledge.
You know, in the Old Testament, everything was packed together. They predicted, they foretell, they prophesied. You will see the men of David. If you read David, you will see prophesying everywhere. You can't even, if you are around David and Samuel, you will prophesy. If you don't prophesy, you should check him. Alright, so it's not to predict, it's not to foretell. And this issue is what led to many people entering divination. I mean, the New Testament era that we have now. And what made many people to enter what? Enter witchcraft. Because there's a mindset that we have to foretell, to prophesy, I have to foretell, I have to tell them future events. I have to tell them that their mother is the one doing them. I have to tell them it's their father-in-law. When it came for their name ceremony, love the glory of the baby. So you have to desist from your father-in-law. That's not prophesying. Alright? To prophesy is not to guide. Please mind you, in the New Testament, it's not to guide or direct people. Is not to guide or what? Or direct people. Because of the way these things have been bastardized, that's why many people, like in days of our parents and now, still have issues with it. They still seek prophets for what? For guidance. Hello, mo comment our. After travel out, everyone check out travel, come out travel, show no, it's clear. Do you get it? I mean, it's something we do, like something we know. Abi?
So I don't have to waste too much time on that.
It's not to judge. To prophesy is not to judge or criticize people. Some people, they believe that if it doesn't judge, it's not prophesying. It's not to judge or criticize. So you not see someone wanting to prophesy and want to bring judgment or want to criticize someone. Another one is to prophesy is not to manipulate people. It's not to manipulate people. To prophesy is not, please, let's pay attention to what I'm saying. It's not to foretell, it's not to guide, it's not to direct people, it's not to judge or criticize people. It's not. These are the issues that happened with the revival that battered in Nigeria. And that's why you see the previous generation, how they went into error with prophecies. Such that a believer, a saint, cannot even make decisions if he has not sought a prophet. If he has not sought for to go to one river, if he has not gone to any mountain. And so we could see familiar spirits, we could see divination. Even now, it's still difficult to tell them that this thing is wrong. Are we together, please? to prophesy. Please let's know that. So that's just the fourth thing I will just say because of time. Now, hindrance to prophesying. What are the things that hinders us from prophesying? What are the things that hinders us? Please, let's not forget my template. Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. Alright? And I've told us in the Old Testament, prophesying is a different template in the Old Testament. What are the hindrances to prophesying? One, fear. I think in one that he can take his book, it was like somebody wanted to prophesy. And he said, I want you to paraphrase, my son, you don't have to be afraid. Because me, once in a while, I am afraid. When I read like, God, what's this? That's another issue, the virtue. So one, fear. Fear of yourself. You are not sure of what you want to say. Those days when I want to talk to people about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the first question is, how am I sure I'm not cursing God? And I tell them from 1 Corinthians 12, is it verse 2? It said, no man speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. We call Jesus accursed. That's always my answer. The first one, I said, are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? He said, yes. So now, whatever that you receive, begin to say it. There was one of my friends during service here. I prayed for her. She began to speak in tongues in her dream. But she was not speaking. That's just tongues though. And I told her that, okay, can you remember the tongue? He said, yes, you have been baptized. Begin to speak it. And she moved. Now, the journey is not supposed to end with that. It's supposed to move into what? Prophesying. But there is around our mind, like I said, fear. Okay, another one is hindrance, the vessel. I'm talking about the vessel. Value. The value that we placed on it. 1 Thessalonians 5:20. My time is running out. 1 Thessalonians 5:20. It says, despise not prophesying. The value we placed on it. The value we placed on it. Despise not prophesying. Another one is ignorance. Ignorance. 1 Corinthians 12:1. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Concerning spiritual gifts. Abi, brethren, I would not have you what? Don't forget that this is a church that was flowing in spiritual gifts. Alright? But let's leave that because of time. Environment. 2 Kings 3:15. The environment. Sometimes the environment is not palatable for the Holy Ghost to flow. Sometimes the environment is not a good one for him. And what is it? 2 Kings 3:15. So environment can be an hindrance. But now bring me a minstrel. This prophet was trying to create an environment. Bring me a minstrel. That's why worship is important. In fact, if you look into prophesying, you see that it has a strong leaning towards music, towards songs. Alright, so let me move from that. Wrong motive. Or show Egypt of wrong motive. Showmanship. Showmanship is an example. There are others. Okay? Wrong motive. Another one is bad character. When you have a bad character, who do you want to prophesy to? But the thing is, I wonder how they did it in the previous generation. For me, how they did it. Where someone will have two wives or three wives and yet he's still a prophet. I don't know the level of witchcraft and manipulation that they did. That thing is, I don't understand it. You see a young boy, a young boy that is in quotes, a man of God prophesying. But you know yourself that this one, I'm even holier than the best. Like Tabatu measure holiness wa. I'm even better. But you see the old church, Baba wa, Daddy wa, bad character. So for me, I just concluded it's not the Holy Ghost. Because there was a time that the Spirit of God left Saul. Another spirit came. And the Bible says Saul prophesied. Another spirit came. And yet they said he what? He prophesied. So what was the operation was similar, but what he was saying, I'm sure, is going to be different. He said, because no one can say Jesus is Lord except by what? Except by the Holy Ghost. Alright, because of time, what encourages prophesying? What encourages prophesying? We can do our own further research. I'm just trying to make it as simple as possible. What are the things that encourage prophesying? One, consciousness in sense of knowledge.
our consciousness of it. Like I'm conscious that I can speak in tongues anywhere. In the bus, in the cab, in the toilet, in the bedroom, in the market. I can also prophesy anywhere. Why? Because I have the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12:1. That's knowledge. Covet. Desire. These are the things that encourages it. You desire, you covet. That's why even Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If Luke verse 1 and 39. 14:1. 14:1. 14:1. Ah, my time is running out, please. 14:1. 14:1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But rather that you may what? Prophesy. Don't worry, I'm quoting it. Let's leave that. Let's go to the next one. Then 14:39. Move to 39. Please, you have to be very fast, I beg. I have like 9 minutes. Therefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Do you see that? Covet. This church already has spiritual gifts. They already play with spirit. Yes, Paul is telling them that they should convert. So recently, around 2 years ago, I began to realize that we don't enter this thing because our level of converting is so low. We think we are converting. We think, but we are not actually converting. We are not actually pressing into it. When you press into it, you will talk about it, you will think about it, you will read books, you will look for messages, you will ask questions, you will be deliberate. It's like you are pursuing something. He said earnestly, okay, 39. Therefore, brethren, forbear to prophesy and forbid not to what? Not to speak in tongues. Do you see the emphasis now? Okay? Then, faith encourages it. That's Romans 12:6. He said, whether prophecy, he said, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And we know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. So you can see what has also entered. Like that one that said, I'm also afraid. If the person was balanced in the world, you know that God cannot be afraid. This statement is not correct. Okay? So faith, the word, Colossians 3:16. That's for the word. It encourages prophesying. Colossians 3:16. He said we should be filled with, how did they put it? We should be filled with the word. Abi? Please, can you open it? Okay, thank you. It's a let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all what? Wisdom. Not just dwell in you, in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing what? One another. Please, who is to do this? The pastor? The pope? The prophet? Every one of them. You are supposed to do this. So you can check yourself. How often do you do that? Then value. Value. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:20. When you despise something, the opposite of it, you place value on it. You place demand on it. You place, respect for it. Value. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:20. Then I've mentioned environment. In the positive side now. Environment. Like worship. Like what we did this morning. What we did this morning. The worship that happened this morning is a good ground for prophesying. Are we together? It's a good ground to flow in what? But because there's something in our mind about prophesying, it may not allow us to flow into it. It's a good ground for it. Worship, songs, psalms, hymns. There are some hymns that when you pick it up, you just pray. You will not even know when you start praying. Because the hymn will come, the hymn is prayer. Are we together? Like when you pick the Psalms of David. Abi? So those are what encourages prophesying. Now, because my time is up and I want us to just do a little practical. One thing I want to stress here, for anyone who wants to prophesy, the motive is to edify. The moment your motive is outside edification, outside edifying, then there's a problem. That's why we have 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of men, tongues of angels, and I don't have love, I'm nothing. Abi? If I have faith and I can move on mountains, and I don't have love, if I can prophesy and understand all the mysteries and whatever of God, and I don't, the motive. Okay, let's do this so we can do what I want us to do. 1 Corinthians 14:12. The motive. The motive that guides us in prophesying. Some of us don't even know that there are motives behind speaking in tongues, which is not even show. That's why we have 1 Corinthians 13. Some of us speak in tongues and you will think it's actually, but it's making noise. He said, even so ye, for as much as ye are what?
Zealous. This is that statement. This is a church. Zealous of spiritual what? Gift. Seek that what? You may excel to the what? Edifying of the church. Let your purpose, let your agenda, let your motive, let your drive for seeking this thing be for what? For edification. The moment you are in this, the moment your motive is this, you are saved. The way we don't have issue with anybody speaking in tongues, we should not have issue with anybody prophesying. Because why? The person's motive is to edify. Okay? Please, these are just little one I can draft out because of time. Okay? So the motive is to what? Is to identify. Then how to start? Because some of us have issues with that. How to start? You can start simply by worship. Like what I said this morning. It's part of it. Now, you don't have to hold microphone. Because sometimes that's a challenge in our mind. You don't have to hold microphone. Paul was telling them in Corinthians, when you speak in tongues and nobody's interpreting, he said, keep quiet in the church. He did not say shut up. He said, speak to yourself. He said, no, he said, I think he said, speak to God. He did not say shush. Nobody will hear me. So you can, in your home corner, in your home, prophesy to God. The way in your home corner, your home, you what? You were speaking with tongues. So how to start? Worship, speaking in tongues, prayer, singing songs. When I began to see this, I began to step out by faith. Because I want to make this practical. Sometimes I just walk up to someone, can I pray with you? It's as simple as that. And can I pray with you? Move into it. Do you have any prayer points? Can we pray together? Because in my mind, I'm not for telling you. I'm not here to tell you in the next 2 days, your wife is going to appear. My intention is to what? Is to edify you. Are we together? If that comes, I may not even say it. Maybe I have to go and submit it to. Because I have people who are more mature in it. I'm going to tell them, when I was praying for this brother, this is what I received. It has to, I've done my part. Are we together? I'm just trying to show that you have nothing to fear when it comes to prophesying. You have nothing to fear. You have people ahead of you who have gone into these things. Alright, so what I encourage us to do is also walk up to people who you notice are walking in it. Ask them questions. Alright, so just for within, I have like 2 minutes more, and I want us to practice this thing. I want us to make this thing practical. Okay, I want us to make this thing practical. I need somebody on the keyboard. Thank you very much. And if you check, it's for men and women. Children is for everybody. Anna prophesied. Elizabeth prophesied. Daddy, please, sir, can I ask for 5 minutes more? Thank you, sir. 5 minutes more. You see, when Luke, let's read Luke 1:41. This last scripture I'll read. Luke 1:41. I want to show us something. So you will get what I mean by prophesying. Luke 1:41. Or?
Yes.
Oh, no. Let's use 67. Luke 1:67. Luke 1:67. I want to show us something there. He said, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and what? Prophesied, saying, now that I am reading this thing, I am not prophesying. Do you get it? And what did he say next? I want to show you something. Verse. He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. I am reading, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. I'm not prophesying. But you know, I can also declare, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. And I'm prophesying. What's the difference? The inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That's the difference. When I read this now, I'm not inspired to read it. But I'm just walking on the road and I'm speaking it all, I'm worshiping and the words just keep coming up. That is prophesying. Have you noticed sometimes when you wake up from the bed, you had a song? It's a way to begin to sing it. You're already prophesying. It's as simple as anything, but we have made it difficult because we want to foretell. You want to predict. You want to say, God saith the Lord. Stop with no testament templates. Stop it. I want us to, I don't know if I have 2 persons, you can just come forward. Let's do practical. Let's do demonstration. You want to be edified? Okay. Any other person? Alright, you can come forward. Now, prophecy is actually divided into two. We have tongues and interpretation. It's equal to prophecy. Then we have normal prophecy. I'll do the first one. I'll do the normal prophesying. Then I'll do the tongues and interpretation. It's by faith. Remember what I said. It's by faith. Father, thank you. Can we just, you can receive your own. Don't wait for me. So venito ste. Atiado ste. Ashiabon, I'm with you. more than you think. I have shielded your way. I have guided you. Sometimes I even save you from troubles. Even when you did not even know. You did not even pray about it. This is your time to begin to see me. That I will guide you again and again. If I have said I will never leave you, not forsake you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. That is my word. That is me to you. That is me to you. When you enter troubles, I will bring you out. For I've said that when you go to the fire, when you pass through the fire, I'm there with you. When you pass through the waters, I'm there with you. I am a shield. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so I am surrounding you. Believe this. Hold on to this. As the mountains, sometimes you also need to picture this. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so I am surrounding you. Because of time, I will use tongues and interpretation. Sovento, stevante, obanteshi, aleka, brunte, atinta, poste, gamba, donje, onjin, donde, ketin, donde, ganda, dunba, donde, duze, livian, gren, donde, si, cambro, tefenento, si, elebrecomante, si, cambrecopadia, tasi, anto, si, cambrocomana, si. There are many things I want to show you. There are many things for you to see. Ashika, bati, adi, 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 adi. Ephesians 2. Please can you help me project Ephesians 2? He said that for we are the workmanship in Christ Jesus. For we are the workmanship in Christ Jesus. Created. Please can you help me? Ephesians 2. Verse 6 or something. He said, for we are the workmanship in Christ, created unto good works. He said that in the ages to come, please can you help me? That in my shield. That's the word. I think verse 8. Is it verse 8 or 10? 10. Please, can you help me project it? Please. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained, that we should walk in them. I'm missing something. Verse 11. What's verse 11? I've missed something. 7. He was talking about that in the ages to come, he might show off. I wish I can find it. He said, in ages to come, that it might show. There are many things I want to show you. There are many things I have ordained, I have prepared. And then you see by faith. You see in me. You see for me. Your eyes see for the body. Your eyes is not seen for the eyes. It's seen for the body. That's a proverb to you. Your eyes see for the body. Your eyes see for the body. You are to see for the body. Do you understand that? You see for the body. You see. He said if the eyes be blind. Correct. He said if the eyes be... He said your body will be full of light. If the eyes is full of light, right? You are to see for the body. Father, we thank you for this blessing. We ask that the grace to see rest upon her in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can we just rise up and say, we stir up these waters. 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 We have just 3 minutes. We stir up these waters. Seven Mahata. Ombrenonte. Subento. Shabalabadiapa. You can create your environment. You are unstoppable. If God can give us the spirit, then what's our issue? Ojivanateka. You can ask me to enlarge your capacity if you don't have. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with my spirit. It is my spirit. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste. God wants us to taste. God wants us to taste. Ah, this church should be a prophesying church. Not just a tongue-speaking church.
We move in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Send us Stephen, Tason, Tason, Tasan, Atiano, Kangrebo. I am in your midst. Maniatosi, I am in your midst. Asibeneke Brakoka, I am opening your eyes to see. Maniatagada Brakodo Debeke, areas that you have thought, Kama, that you think, Kabaniapa, Kambalo Beniapa, that have even moved in you, but you did not pay attention to it. Epanabrokopai in the Kangre, I've shown some of you your dreams. I've visited some of you in your dreams, in visions. I've visited you. Nekebaka, break out of your fear. Break out of your unbelief and walk in this. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we have our seats?
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.